This is the Tears Podcast. Time erases all rough situations. My name is Deborah DeLynn Wilson, and our special guest today, his name is Dr. Wallace Patrick Miles Jr. He is the brother that every sister wants, and he is the mentor that every brother needs. Sit back and relax. This podcast is for my brothers, but sisters, listen in. Let's go.
Right. Hey, when I discovered being without a father in the home with my mom, I buried it because she covered me. She took care of everything and she made sure that I had everything. And she just did the best she could do as a mother. So I didn't feel the pain of being without a dad until I started getting older. I was somewhat imbalanced because the important role that a father plays in a child's life, whether it be male or female, is very important. I didn't realize that. Asking God and seeking, I had an encounter with God. And I asked God to reveal to me why when things are going well, I want to do wrong.
When it was going well?
Yes, when it was going well, I want to do wrong.
Wow.
I couldn't put my finger on it. If I would go to God, that God will show me, because I just didn't know. And that went on for years before this moment that I had when I got in recovery. All my life, I would start and stop. I started in elementary selling weed. One of my friends, I just came from New Orleans to Los Angeles, and one of my friends who his family was selling marijuana, and they had large volumes of it. And I was the new kid on the block, and so I wanted to have some friends. So these were the friends that I had, and I ended up being drawn with them and started selling marijuana cigarettes. But then when things were going well, I would just go around dangerous atmospheres where drugs were at. I was like, there was like a call to seek out and to search out for kind of like a tune me out type of sedative, something to get me, well, that I wanted to do right, but I always seemed to do wrong.
Identify for me when you say well. Maybe when you say when things are going well, what does well look like?
Well looks like being accountable. I mean, being responsible and taking care of like my business and having a job, being accountable to those in authority, and being able to have the facade or a functional type of person. But then in the background, I was had a dark side of me. That's when I knew I had two. I had multiple personalities that I had tapped into.
That good person and that bad person. That bad person didn't want person that says, okay, I'm doing well right now. Then that other person says, no, you're not going to do well. So that's when you said that when it seems like things are going good, that's when you want to go do whatever substance you were using.
Whatever was trying to lead and guide me at that time. I didn't understand that why when things were going well, that I want to go around stuff that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't point my finger on it. You know.
So how did you do that? How did you silence that one that says, no, you're not going to do well? How did you get to the point where you silenced that?
Well, what I did was, first of all, I had to be forced. Somehow, a compelling situation arise where the door was being shut on me for his living arrangements. My mom had put her foot down and said that, look, you're going to have to get some help. I can't sit up here and watch you destroy yourself. And so my mom, lo and behold, my aunt came right when my mom was telling me that. And my aunt came and she was going to a church that had a drug rehabilitation program. It was all.
What age were you?
I was 20 in the scene. I was in my 20s. Let's see. It's been 20 years. So I'm 61 now. And so it's in my 40s. Let's see. Yeah, in my 40s. Because I already was married. Going up and down, you know, in that situation, because when you are addicted to something, then you're going to cause a lot of problems in your household as a man when dealing with your spouse and dealing with your kids, and everything is out of order.
So from elementary, make sure I have it right. So from elementary to into your 40s, you dealt with that other voice saying that, no, you're not going to do well when you want to do well. We're going to go back and.
It was like knowing that I was guided by another identity. It wasn't a voice speaking to me like you like you clearly said, but it was just that what was inside was guiding me and directing me. The good part and the bad part. And when the good part I start achieving and doing well, the other part will kick in and doing something that you used to do. And I think it was like, you know, the enemy sending somebody across my path, you know, that he knew that he could get me sidetracked or distracted or go in the spirit of deception. And I feel like I could treat myself. It got to a point where I was treating myself, you know, like I did good. Now I'm finna go and do something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That sinful nature of wanting to do wrong when you're doing good. It was like, wow, you know, I was like trapped.
You answered that question so well. Thank you. How did you feel different in the beginning of your recovery versus how you feel now?
I didn't want to go to the program. I was forced to go to the program because what was inside me didn't want me to go to no program. I was thinking that I was all right. I was thinking that I'm good. I'm okay. I'm gonna be all right. But really, what it was that the voice that was in the spirit that was inside me was talking for me. Really, wasn't me. It was a spirit that was speaking through me, making me think that I was fine when I wasn't fine. It was a spirit of deception. I was deceiving myself, thinking that I was fine and that I didn't need no help. But yet, when you look at me, you'll know that I needed some help. When I look at myself, I don't see myself like other people see me. It's kind of like a camouflage. It's like I'm being pretending, or someone is pretending to make me think that I'm all right when I'm not actually all right. And he got me in agreement with that I'm fine. I'm not fine because when other people see me, it's like something wrong. But you can't tell me that ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm okay, you know. But yet still I had some identities that had me under arrest. I don't have that problem on what people think about me or how people feel about me no more. I know who I am. I don't do the things I used to do, and I don't go the places I used to.
And
it's all because of God. It's all because of Him and His mercy and His grace, how He set the stage for me to get delivered. And I had to recognize it because after about 30 days of recovery, I wanted to leave. It was a war going on with me, with that spirit didn't want to be delivered. Spirit inside me that wanted to get back out and get back in doing the things that, you know, the constructiveness that it wanted to do through my life. It needed to ride with somebody. It needed to stay with me. And I wasn't, you know, out of order for as it was concerned. And I needed to get out of the program. And the guy told I called my mom and I said, Mom, look, I'm okay, Mom. I'm ready. I'm ready to come and get my life, or, you know, back on the road. This is a good thing right here that you sent me. Sent me here trying to manipulate, trying to con. And my mom said, I want you to tell them people that after you finish the year, can you do another year?
I love it. I love it.
You know, all the stuff you didn't brought me through. You better go ahead and do one more year to make sure you don't come back this way. Get that stuff off of you.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
I hung up the phone in my mom's face.
And stayed a year. No.
Yeah, I hung up the phone, and then the Spirit of the Lord convicted me and said, you better call your mom back. You better call your mom back. There was a war going on with the one that was residing in me that I didn't know nothing about. And that it was residing inside me, and it was holding me back from doing the things that was designed for me as a man to do. And the attack was on my manhood as a man, a male. But then I was going into manhood, choosing to be a man. So you got to make a choice to be a man. I was born a male, and I know who I was, but yet I still didn't make the choice to be a man. And see, the enemy is on attack against men, and men being in the position that they need to be in, and being responsible and being accountable to his child, who he brought into this world, and if he's married, to his wife. And so I didn't understand that. Because of my father not being in the home, I didn't understand what being a father really meant. And I was going down the same path that he was going down, but my dad went through alcohol and partying with women. And so I was going down that same road, but with a different drug. You see, the pattern of rebellion, the pattern of hard-headedness, the pattern of I'm going to do what I want to do, and the world is mine, or the world, I don't owe nobody nothing. I'm in charge. But that wasn't me being in charge. It was just being in charge over me. And I didn't know it until I went to a deliverance they called the Encounter. Mm. And when I went to the program, they had a thing called the Encounter. And what it was, a weekend where you would go and you had to fast, and where you would go and they would teach the word, they pray, they will worship, and the whole 3 days you were fasting, praying, and someone was ministering their testimony, how God brought them out, and they was ministering the word. And that's when I asked God, they said something about Lord revealed to them where they started from. And I was crying out to God for deliverance. Lord, show me. So, you know, I wanted the fullness. And that's what happened. It was a small voice said, just because your dad wasn't never around you, he didn't come to none of your games, he didn't come to your graduation, he didn't come when you first receive an award, he didn't come to this. The Holy Spirit started bringing all those things that I buried inside me.
Wow.
Buried that inside me. And I didn't know that it was buried. My mom didn't have nothing to do with it. It was just, I buried it. She covered me, but I buried it inside, all the hurt and the pain that I was feeling, because I was a son without a dad. My dad didn't even care about me. And then when he passed in 1980, when I was entering in high school, it was like, he's gone. And it was like, well, my mom been there by my side, I'm gonna be all right, you know? That's how I felt. I said, I'm gonna be all right. I got my mom. Wasn't never in my life. But that was a cover. That was a covering that my mom covered me and did the best she could do. But when that happened, when he passed, I didn't feel nothing at that time. Because he's been so far away from my life. I just knew I had my mom. And my mom was my strength.
After recognizing that's what it is. Because that was ending in a new beginning.
That's right. At the same time, it was the actual thing that they were when I openly confessed that happened, and what the Spirit of the Lord told me that what had happened, and I cried out to the Lord, and that's when they came forth to shut the door on that aspect, that it will never be able to return back to my life again. So it was like a loosened sivers, lacerate, destroy, smash, you know, everything, shatter, everything that spirit had connections with, unforgiveness. It was mainly unforgiveness and bitterness that was inside me, you know, being, you know, I didn't forgive him for not coming to see me and not coming to help raise me with my mom. I just didn't forgive him. So when you have unforgiveness in your life, you don't know how dangerous unforgiveness is. Mm-hmm. I never was taught how unforgiveness is so dangerous.
That day, a door opened because it was a door opening of reality.
Right.
You was able to see a whole picture. It right. was like a movie was turned on that you didn't even know that was there. Right. And you watched, you heard, you saw. And then they said, okay, now you see it. Now we're going to shed it.
That's just what happened. That's what happened. I shut the door on it and got rid of it. And it was God. Nobody but God that came, because whenever you can hold stuff in for a long time and bury it, and the Spirit of the Lord have to reveal to you, because the enemy doesn't care how far you go in ministry or wherever you, how high you go. That same thing that you had when you were a kid that's buried inside you, he'll surface it up later on. He'll surface it up. And I was glad that I got that out for as being addicted to drugs. Mm-hmm. But there was other things, too, that was generational that I needed to get that solved, too, you know, in the multiple areas of my life that was connected. It was like a tentacles, an octopus with tentacles. What was connected to that was this was connected with that. And this was connected with that.
Right.
A lot of deliverance going on. But that main thing started with unforgiveness.
You just really talk through and you walk through a verbal process of deliverance. Most people are not even able to articulate it. No, and this is so important, I believe, because when you ask somebody, what do deliverance really look like? A lot of times they'll say, well, I went to a church service and somebody laid hands on me and I walked out feeling it. But no, it's deeper than that. Mm-hmm. And if you can't articulate your deliverance, like what we just said, that door, you didn't see that door. The door didn't open for you. So when that door opens for you, you're able to identify that door as unforgiveness and all the other things that's attached to what you were saying that your picture looked like. Your dad not being at awards, your dad's not being at your first. All of that, you had to see that so you can articulate your deliverance. Thank you for this, because this is what you're just saying. It just really helps somebody else to walk through their deliverance.
Okay. That's what this is all about, because I want, like you said, you have to identify, you know, everything so that you can help other people and tell the story. Nobody can tell it like I can. And
right.
But God's the one that brought me out of it. And you know, I'm just so grateful now I'm in a position to help other men. And so that's what I tell the guys that I'm ministering to now. It's like, you know, I say you can act like you're there, but you know deep down inside you need deliverance in every area. So you need to not be covering up stuff that you're doing that nobody else see you doing, because that's what was the whole thing that the enemy saying, okay, you're still doing this, but you don't you want to hold on to some of that stuff and think that it's cute and cool. But when you get older in ministry, that stuff will surface up later on, and here you find yourself like your ministry, you're going to tarnish your ministry, you're going to put yourself in a position where you're going to really be ashamed or embarrassing, you know, ministry or those who, you know, of God, most of all.
Yeah.
You're going to shame you. Well, God already knew beforehand that you were going to do it before you even did it. So you can't put nothing past him. But I'm just saying, people that you're accountable to, you know, you might have a spouse or you know, or you got kids, because you pass this stuff down on to the next generation.
Yeah. And you know what? I think that's really good what you're saying, is because if you can't identify it and if you cannot come to terms of what it really is, then when it's there in front of you, like you said, you keep being tempted by it, you keep doing it. But if you know what it is and it's right there, you're able to say, you know what, this is what causes me, this is that voice, this is the thing that keeps telling me when I want to do, when I get to the point where I'm doing good, I want to do bad. It's because of this.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't never know what this is, and then you just think that somebody lay hands on you and you got healed, but you never knew what this is.
Right.
And when you know what this is, when you're in ministry, when you're at work, when you're in a relationship, when you're doing things and this comes up, You recognize, oh no, you're the reason why when I'm doing well, you come up, you know?
Right.
And I think this is deliverance.
Oh, for sure. Recognizing, you know? And recognizing and making the right choice and right decision. Nobody can do that for you. Mm-hmm. And when everything is already, you've been delivered and set free when you go through the encounter with God, because I Apostle Paul had an encounter with God. He was going the wrong way. And a lot of people in the Bible, you know, have different stories to tell. Manasseh, you know, Hezekiah's son, you know, his dad lived for God and he just didn't want to live for God. And so, but God turned his life around. So, but I'm just saying that the story is being told so that I can help other men that went through the same thing that I went through. And even my sons who are currently having to make choices and decisions in their lives, and they need to see deliverance. They need to see
what it looks like
and that you can change, and God can help you change if you want to change, and you can't be in denial when it's right there. I was in denial. I didn't see myself, and it won't let you see who you really are, because it needs somebody to use.
Like you said, it wants to keep you in deception.
Yeah, keep you in deception. And that's the number one weapon of the enemy, deception.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping people deceived, making them think they're all right. So those were the things that really, really helped me.
Did you ever relapse?
I never relapsed from what I went in there for. I went 20 years without even... God delivered me the taste of that from me, all the addictions of the drug addiction that I had. There were things that I was tested in, the triggeries, because one thing about it, it always going to have some parts that you have to play when passing your tests is when you go into a rehab, you got to be tested to let you see and to know whether you've delivered or not. Because a test tells you whether you are free or not, or whether you have a stronghold. Trials, tribulations, circumstances, situations reveal to you what's inside you, whether you need more of God or need more of, or you don't have what you think you have. I can only be able to tell by a circumstance, what decision I'm going to make or what choice I'm going to make in this situation. That's how
you
I
know,
can tell.
I think, you know, I'm listening to what you're saying and I'm putting what you said. And you know what? It seems like that test is when you're doing good, let's do bad. When you can confront that, say, you know what? No, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
So
right.
When you can come in confrontation with what that was and say, right. You know what? I'm greater than you. And you become greater than that confrontation. You become greater than that thing that kept saying, no, you're going to do bad when it's going good. That test becomes that confrontation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the one that's inside me is greater than the one that's talking to me.
Yeah.
See, he still wants to try to see if he can talk me into getting an agreement. And that's all it is. It's the same thing he did with Eve when he started talking to her. He does the same thing today. I have the power and authority over him, but the exchange that he wants, I tell you what, if you get an agreement with me and you hear what I'm saying, then now I'm going to be the boss of your life, because you are listening to me and you're not letting me know who has authority over your life. And then, you know, it's like the confrontation is going to, I think it's a lifetime. It's a lifetime. It's a war going on, and it's always persistent to see some kind of way. Can I get you to get an agreement with me?
Yeah. I think the greater is when you get to the point where you don't have to tell God, remove this from me, take this out of my life. You don't have to do that. The greater is when you have, like you said, when you have that confrontation right there and you tell it, I'm greater than you. I'm greater than it. You can stand in my way if you want to. I'm not even asking you to move. I'm going to prove to you, because what's inside of me is greater than this right here. And you think about it. If Eve was able to tell him, you and your apple stay right there.
I'm right there. I'm going to go and get Adam real quick.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and that would have shut him down right there. You know? Right. No, I ain't doing nothing outside. See, if she'd have did that, then things would have been better. But God turned a bad situation around for the good. I needed to be tested in those areas in order to be able to stand up for myself and the greater one that's inside me. Now I know who I am. See, I didn't know who I was. Someone had stolen my identity. My identity was stolen because the door was open when my dad never told me who I was.
Right.
Never told me that I was a father and I was a man and that I need to do this. I need to do this as a man. So my identity, I didn't know who I was. And so if you don't know who you are, someone else could take your ID.
So, you know, when you think about it, what it does, an addiction is a replacement for something that is missing that you don't realize.
There we go. There we go. Yep. So everyone who's in addiction has something missing in their identity. They don't know who they really are. And so they're trying to replace or trying to cover up because of the loss or the pain or just not knowing. The cover up of when they go home with themselves, how they feel about themselves and how they can't really point their finger on it. They know something's wrong, but they're afraid to, like we're having now, an open session of communication. Women don't have no problem with talking, so they're going to talk. But God's the one that has problems with talking and communicating.
Yeah.
You know, the with guys, they just, you know, they shut it in, you know, because like when the thief comes, he comes back once he didn't, you know, you just swept the house. And so if I put none of the word of God in there and I hadn't, God had not told me who I really am through the word of God, you know, I, like I said, I put in new furniture once he got kicked out.
And so he don't like that.
No, he don't like it. So he said, I'm going to come.
So you end up silencing him.
Oh, for sure. He can't, he's evicted. So he's out of the house. Once I graduated from the program, got delivered from that, then now he's trying to come back and see if he's there. I'm going to come back. See, he showed ownership over me for that long time. And then when I found out who I am, you're no longer ownership over me. So now he's coming back saying, I'm going to go back to my house. He put a mine on it.
Tears. Let's go.
You have been listening to Dr. Wallace Patrick Miles Jr. on the Tears Podcast, Time Erases All Rough Situations. Today, Dr. Wallace Patrick Miles Jr. said that trials, tribulations, circumstances, and situations reveals to you what's inside of you. He also said to recognize how dangerous unforgiveness is, how it will surface up later on in your ministry to destroy you and the ministry. He also described unforgiveness as an octopus with tentacles. Dr. Wallace, thank you so much for visiting us today here on the Tears Podcast. Time erases all rough situations.
Let's go.